Revelation chapter 1 for a moment. Thank you, Eric, and the worship team for the theme of God's holiness here this morning. And a little while back, we read Isaiah chapter 6, and I thought maybe we would read Revelation chapter 1. We'll start at verse 12. Actually, verse 9 is where we'll start. And I just want you to think a little bit about just reading this on your own. In a quiet place, and no distractions, and maybe what's going on is you've been processing maybe a challenging time in your life. Maybe you've got a lot of questions, and you're trying to sort out how do you pray for certain people, and you just need some renewed perspective. And so Revelation chapter 1 is a good place to go. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and a testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, underline, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 55. As we approach the end of another year, I was trying to figure out how I was going to begin this message. I've been drawn to Isaiah 55, and I was thinking it'd be a lot better if just Valentin and I went out for coffee and I would just talk to him about Isaiah 55. But then again, in light of all the struggles that Frank's had with his renovations, I thought maybe I should do it with him instead. Yeah. If you were to write down, what is one lesson that you learned in this past year, what would it be? So I can't stop at one. I'd probably fill a couple of pages, things that I have learned, but seemingly they were things that I had to learn the year before, and I rather suspect they're going to be lessons I'm going to have to learn again in this coming year. And as you reflect upon this past year, there have probably been a mixture of blessings, but not without trials. We are on a course to meet the Creator and the Sustainer of life, the Savior, the Lover of our souls, the Judge of all the earth. God, in creating you and I, created us with a purpose. That purpose included that someday you and I would co-rule with him in his kingdom. However, in the midst of the year, you probably lost perspective of that. Not unlike you, I at times failed to see God's purposes, although he had left me his sure word. This morning's message is God's purpose for his word. See, the purpose of God's word is to reveal God to us. It reveals, in fact, that God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. The book of Isaiah, with its 66 chapters, speaks that very fact. Often it speaks about God's plan for a nation, but it's broader than that. It's bigger than that. In the book of Isaiah, we see many principles by which you and I are to live by. As you read the book of Isaiah, and as we've been talking about Advent through the eyes of Isaiah, we soon discover that without the servant, without the Messiah, without the coming King of Kings, and the one that was just depicted for us in Revelation chapter 1, we would be lost. And God never meant for us to be lost. He wanted us always to realize that he was there. He never meant for us to always consider ourselves or to ever consider ourselves as being self-sufficient. We were never meant to be lonely and despairing. In fact, God has always wanted his best for you and for me as his image bearers. And so God gave us his word. And in the giving of his word, he's always wanted us to make us aware of his precious promises. And throughout the year, if you haven't consistently read the word, you wouldn't be reminded of those precious promises. And you very quickly would lose perspective. Renee and I were reading in the book of Numbers this morning, and we were reading about how Moses and Aaron were to be the instruments that God would use to provide water for the people in the desert. And so God told them to take the rod, and he says, I want you to go to that rock, and I want you to speak to it. And when you speak to it, the water's going to come out, and you'll be able to give the people all the water that they want, all that they need. I don't know how long they had been in the desert, but for some reason, Moses and Aaron were both pretty upset. They too had lost perspective. They had yelled at the people, called them rebels, and they struck the rock. And for that reason, there was a consequence upon Moses and Aaron's life. God says, you had not revered me. You had not hallowed my name. One of the things that's very challenging for us as parents, fathers, is how do we represent God? We need his word. I need his word. The backdrop to Isaiah 55 is God's call to this nation in the midst of its affluence. As we looked at Isaiah chapter 7, we could see that it was in a period of time where there was impending doom for the city of Jerusalem as the Assyrians and the city of Samaria, the 10 northern tribes, had agreed to bring pressure upon Ahaz, and Ahaz wouldn't trust God. He needed God, but he didn't trust God. And so God calls the nation back to himself, and here in Isaiah 55, he says so, and he woos these people with these very words that Frank had read. Let's go to chapter 55 and verse 1. Come all you who are thirsty. The purpose of God's word is to quench your spiritual thirst, to saturate you with the life that he wants you to have. But you've got to stop, and you have to reflect. You have to stop and meditate upon the goodness and the blessings of God. And Nat alluded to that here in this Advent season as you celebrated with your families. And then Candace's remark, you know, well, I guess Christmas is over. Well, of course, that's not. Christmas is every day for you and me. Christmas is found in prophetic form, in God speaking to the people and calling to them and seeking to draw them to himself. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You know, another passage you might want to consider here is similar words that are found in Matthew's gospel. Just keep your finger in Isaiah 55. We're going to be flipping back and forth here a little bit. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 11. The very Messiah that Isaiah was prophesying about shows up, and he uses similar language, and he comes to chapter 11 and verse 28, and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's almost like there's an echo of Isaiah 55 in Jesus' words. And you can recall the statement that Jesus made as he looked around at the nation, and he looked around at people, and he says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. The purpose of God's word is to ensure that we know who the shepherd is, and that we would draw near to the shepherd. Isaiah 55 again. And you who have no money, those who are thirsty, those who have no money, those who are poor, come to me. Psalm 42 says, as a deer pants,